This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We're in Romans chapter 14 in our Bible study. Romans chapter 14. This is in that section of Romans that has to do with a Christian's behavior. The first 8 chapters tell us what wonderful things God has done for us. And this is always God's order. He wants to do something for you before you can do anything for Him. And if you haven't believed the truth of the first 8 chapters of Romans, this section is not for you. I mean by that you cannot please God until you have believed in His Son, until you have accepted His salvation. Romans 8 and 8 is our authority for saying this. Now this chapter plainly is addressed to believers because we're told in verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So this is written to those who are the Lord's. If I'm speaking to someone just now who is not the Lord's, remember this, the Lord Jesus wants you. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross. He rose again from the dead so that He might be your friend and your Savior and all that you need. And if you'll accept Him as your Savior, you will be a part of what we're reading here. Chapter 14 of Romans and verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, now notice he is in the faith, he is a believer, but he is weak. Now, this simply means that he is weak as to his conscience. He isn't necessarily physically weak, nor even spiritually weak, but he has a weak conscience. There are many Christians who believe that we ought to go by our conscience. Well, God has given us a much higher standard of behavior than this. He's given us His Word. And we know what is right and wrong, not by how we feel about it, but by what God's Word says. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, receiving one another has to do, first of all, in a personal way. Every Christian ought to receive every other Christian. That is, be friendly with each other and recognize each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And don't allow all these wretched divisions between Christians to divide you from other believers. But it also means a receiving into church fellowship. Into the local company of believers, the local assembly of believers is expected to receive even those who are weak in the faith. The local church is not simply a congenial gathering of people of kindred spirits, but it's a nursery for the babies, I mean young Christians. It's a hospital for sick Christians. It's an asylum for those who are troubled. It's a school for those who are ignorant. It's a place where all of His own can meet together and have their needs met. Now the things that he's taking up in chapter 14 of Romans are what we call matters of moral indifference. That is, these are not things about which the Scriptures has plainly told us, but these are things that really don't count. And yet you'll be surprised to find how many Christians are taken up with things which simply do not count. Some Christians make a great deal of dress. Others make a great deal of certain ceremonies. Others believe that we should never sing anything, only a certain kind of songs or psalms. Others believe that we should or should not use musical instruments. Now, these things are matters of moral indifference. The Word of God is silent on them, and we should not make them things to judge our brethren by. There are two things that we should not do in this chapter. We should not judge one another, and we should not put a stumbling block in one another's way. If you are a weak brother, I shouldn't, because I can do a thing with a good conscience, I shouldn't force it upon you and stumble you. If, on the other hand, you are a stronger brother, I should not be offended at you by the things that you do. I should remember that each of us is the Lord's servant, if we are saved, if we're God's children. Now, there's a great deal said about our liberty as a Christian. You see, we're not under the law, and we do not have a set of rules and bylaws and all of that sort of thing in the New Testament. There's a great deal of liberty for the children of God, but liberty is not license. And with the liberties which we have as Christians, we have great responsibilities. Responsibility, first of all, toward the Lord Jesus. And a great deal is said in this chapter about the Lordship of Christ. You'll notice this in verses 6 and 8, 9, 11, and 14. Here the Lord Jesus is referred to as the Lord, and each of us are to give account to Him. Therefore, we should be careful as Christians, first of all, to do what will please the Lord. Now, let me say again that if you have never received Christ as your Savior, He is not your Lord. Romans 10:9, we studied, you remember, said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," or Jesus as Lord, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So He became our Lord at conversion. And then we're to realize His Lordship more day by day. But in this chapter, we also have a responsibility to each other, and especially to those who are weaker or younger in the faith. Now, five times in this chapter, He uses the word "let" and suggests some things that we ought to be careful about. In verse 5, "let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." That is about, for instance, the observing of certain days. Now, you may feel that the observation of Ascension Day is a very necessary thing, and I may not feel that that's an important day at all. Well, we must decide these things in our own minds because the Scripture has not said, and we must not judge one another for it. Then verse 13 is the second one. There are two in this verse. "Let us not therefore judge one another, but rather let us not put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in our brother's way." Then in verse 16, "let not then your good be evil spoken of." That is, be careful that what you think is all right will not be a hindrance to others because they may not see it the same as you. And in verse 19, he says, "let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another or build one another up." So he's telling us a better way than to say, "well, I can do as I please. Nobody's going to tell me what to do," or to set ourselves up as judges of our fellow Christians and say, "well, they're not spiritual. I'm spiritual. They ought to do like I do," and so on. Now, remember again that this does not have to do with things where we have a clear command or teaching of Scripture. There are things the Lord has told us to do, and we should never quibble about those at all. Where the Lord has given us definite command or definite statement of His will, we should not question that at all. A very prominent word in this chapter is the word "brother." Now, we noticed this back in chapter 12, that we are called the brethren. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And we saw also in that chapter that we are one body in Christ. We're joined to Christ. We belong to Him. We are brothers in the Lord's family. Now, don't let church fellowship and church membership and the narrowness of our select company hinder you from remembering that all true believers are your brothers in Christ, and you have a responsibility toward every Christian on earth. We are brothers in Christ because we have received the same Lord Jesus as Savior, have been born into the same family of God, and have the same Heavenly Father. He says this in verse 10, "twice, thy brother," and again in verse 13, and again in verse 15, "thy brother." Now, if we will look on other Christians as brothers, we will not be as unfriendly as we have been, perhaps. We will not be as indifferent to their best interests as we have been. And we will not be as uncharitable as we have been. He says in verse 15, "thou walkest not charitably." Paul is so willing, he says in another passage, to be a help to his Christian brothers, that he said he wouldn't eat meat as long as he lived if it was going to cause his brother to offend. So let's be careful that we don't hinder one another. Now, the opposite of this is given in the end of verse 19, "things wherewith we may edify one another." The word "edify" means to build up, from the same root word as an edifice or a building. So we are to build one another up. And we build each other up by the reading and talking together about the Word of God, and by praying together and praying for each other. We build each other up as we meet together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We build each other up by giving encouragement to each other in the things of the Lord, and we build each other up by setting a good example before each other. So instead of stumbling one another, we ought to build one another up. Now he finishes this section by saying, do you have faith? Well, that's fine, but remember that faith is between you and God, and you want to be careful that your faith in God is reflected in your love for your fellow Christians. The last verse in the Revised Version reads, he that doubteth is condemned. Damned is a pretty strong word in our day. In that day, that's all it meant. It meant condemned. And a Christian is condemned if he does not act in faith. Now, we are saved by faith, but we are expected to walk by faith. And faith is simply taking God at his word and doing what he wants us to do. This chapter, I think, makes it plain that he wants us to obey the Lord, and he wants us to be a help and a blessing to one another as our brothers in Christ in every way that we can. If you're not saved, wouldn't you like to be a part of this great family? Wouldn't you like to receive the Lord Jesus? Our Father, we pray that you bless thy word to all who have heard it, save the lost, and help us as Christians to be a help to each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.